everybody. Welcome to the third and footlong show on Planet FM. My name's Darren Leith.
And I'm DT.
Ah, good evening, DT. We are not together tonight.
I know, it's very weird not looking across from you. I feel quite lonely in the booth here.
Oh, no. And I'm quite lonely because I'm in a hotel room on my own.
I know, just two lonely people who love football.
That's right. What a terrible organisation by me, right?
Nah, it's all good. It's fine. We've still got your fun voice on the radio, so all good to go.
Thank you. Well, the way I would describe today is a massive day.
Massive
day.
The
season's turned. Three games went into overtime. Eight were decided by one score or less. Old reliable faces are now back in the playoff picture. More injury woes, 1,000 yards of offense in one game. And after all that, we've still got more questions than answers.
So many questions. I have a lot of questions about the Green Bay Packers. And they won, but still many questions about that team.
Yeah, they are not looking good. I mean, Micah Parsons is probably holding a lot of that together on his own, I think.
Yeah, definitely worth the contract then.
That's right. But guess what?
What?
Christmas is coming.
Yes, I know. Have you heard the Christmas songs yet in the stores?
No. I could tell you a story about my failed shopping exploits, if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
So on Friday night, I had to go shopping, and one of my daughters was with me. And I said, let's get your shopping underway tonight, Black Friday, let's go. So she spent about an hour and a quarter in Mecca Maxima.
Yeah.
Came up with all of this wonderful makeup that she wanted, and we got to the desk and found out that Black Friday is this week.
I would have thought, as a football fan, you would know that.
No.
You didn't?
No.
Thanksgiving is this Thursday, Black Friday football, Bears versus Eagles. No?
I'm a football fan, but not a shopping fan, so we're stood at the till with no discount.
Oh, no.
Are you going to put it all back and go, well, could you just hold this for a week until we come back?
What did you do?
No. Paid for it.
Oh, that's rough.
Well, that was the penalty I have for not being well informed.
No, you did not know when Thanksgiving was.
No, but we are heading towards Christmas.
Yes.
And the food poll this week
was Christmas
about
theme.
Christmas dinner trimmings, courtesy of Mark Wood from the UK, regular listener, who every Monday.
Oh, is that why there was no Coomera?
Yes, of course, it's come out of the UK.
Okay, because when you said that, I was like, where's the Coomera? Okay, that makes sense.
Well, and today, for the second week running, he sends me a direct message on Facebook going, bear down.
Oh, did he? So, is this the same Mark who requested we talk about bears?
That's correct.
Dumb bears.
So he gave us the poll on what trimmings will you be having with Christmas dinner. Now, just to be clear, I took the meats out, because obviously not the trimmings, but I took meats out, and I also took sauces out, because otherwise we were going to end up with about 42 options.
How many different sauces do you have on your table?
Well, you know what I mean? People have cranberry, or they have mint sauce, or they have, it depends what meat they have, or you have gravy, or
I feel like gravy is a necessity.
It is. But I didn't want to muddy the water, so, which is what gravy does when you add it to water. But worst joke ever, right?
Yeah, no, it was fun.
But, some comments before we go into the poll. Kira, sorry about this, all you lame-os, but where's the pancake, soy sauce, cucumber and spring onions? By the way, duck fat roast potatoes are the only ones. Otherwise, you ain't living up to the standards.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a Mike Tomlin, the standard is the standard, right?
Well, the standard is the standard when it comes to potatoes, and duck fat potatoes are supreme.
And I know why Kira goes on about pancakes, soy sauce and cucumber, because she's having roast duck for Christmas dinner.
Is interest Peking duck or just roast duck?
Roast duck.
Okay.
With pancakes and all of that stuff. But then Corin, a former guest pollster, aside from the lack of alcohol, well, I think it's a trip to AA for you, Corin. I've no complaints about this list, which causes me a mild irritation.
Oh, no, he can't put other.
No, no. And then Craig Westenberg replied to that by going, well, as an ACT supporter, I knew you'd find something to get offended over.
Wow. Political views.
That's right. Yes, and then Emma piled in on the duck fat roast potatoes as well.
Mm-hmm. Superior roast potato.
So here we go. I did this week's non-choice called other. Mm-hmm. Called this choice is for people that are just simply not satisfied. 2% of people voted for that.
2%.
2% of people voted. Again, another popular poll. Another popular poll. I can't see how many votes. 124 votes this week. So good votes. Yes, green beans only 5%, peas 5%, broccoli 5%, pigs in blankets I was surprised didn't get more love. 8%.
I feel like they're not normally with the dinner, they're like pre-dinner.
Oh no, they're nice though, right?
Yeah.
Stuffing 12%, Yorkshire pudding. I was surprised Yorkshire pudding 10%.
Yorkshire puddings are delicious.
Love. I know. I was distressed.
To be fair, I don't think people eat Yorkshire puddings with Christmas dinner because they're normally a beef item or lamb.
They are. But I think Yorkshire puddings are an anything. I would eat a plateful of Yorkshire puddings with nothing else.
No, gravy. No, you need gravy in the Yorkshire pudding and then it goes all over your face and it's just absolutely stunning. That is a must, Yorkshire pudding.
That is the win. I was distressed to see 5% of people pick Brussels sprouts.
You're distressed?
I hate Brussels sprouts.
Oh, see, I love Brussels sprouts. They're one of my top veggies.
Nah,
they're good. Delicious.
Cabbage, 1%. No cabbage lovers.
Yeah.
Wow. 8% cauliflower, 5% parsnips.
You spelled cauliflower wrong, by the way.
Oh, no. Oh, well, yeah, dude, actually, it was terrible.
I was like, do I say this steroid or not? And I was like, I'll just leave it.
No, you've got to call it out. But the problem is, I don't know if you've done a lot of Facebook polls. Yeah. They're really, really difficult to change.
No,
they're really difficult.
I'm not on social media, so I have not done a lot of Facebook polls.
But 5% parsnips, 10% carrots, 5% mashed potato, and the winner was...
Duck fat roast potatoes.
Oh, roast potatoes, 18%. Yep.
I reckon if you had Coomera on there, it would have got pretty high.
You reckon? Oh, there was quite a few New Zealanders voting in there this week.
Yeah, so Coomera would have got up there.
I was just going to see if there was any more random Coomera. I was going to see if there was any more random comments that I'd missed along the way, but I'm not sure there was. But again, another popular poll. So a big question I was being asked is, are we going to include sauces in a poll?
Is that not this week? This coming week? Christmas dinner sauces?
We had Jessica Charlotte from Taranaki.
Yep.
The cauliflower has to be baked in cheese and bacon sauce. The roast potatoes have to be boiled first, shaken from side to side to make the edges crumbly, and then baked in oil and butter.
So it's pretty much duck fat potato.
That is chef-esque advice.
Mm-hmm. I actually quite like
you, Jess.
The smash potatoes. You know, when
smash
you like
potatoes.
Roast them. I don't know. It's like a Jamie Oliver recipe. It's actually quite good, though.
In the UK, years and years and years ago, we used to have this packet potato called smash.
Packet potato.
And it would turn into
packet potato.
Oh, no.
So,
you've got to go look at
describe.
It online. Smash. It's like a packet thing. And the adverts used to be great because it used to have these weird robots on it which tried to make out that packet mashed potato was like a thing of the future.
Oh, that's funny. Like that freeze-dried dots or ice cream dots or something.
Yeah. And it was terrible, to be honest, because it was the 70s and no food was good in the 70s. So.
Do you know what ad I found misleading as a child? The Bluebird chip ad? Because there were polar bears and penguins in the same... continent, and I got really confused because you get told that one's North Pole, one's South Pole, and then you look at this ad and you're like, but they're together here, I don't understand. And that was the one that threw me.
Or was it that you thought the bluebird chips were made from penguins?
No, I did not think they were made from penguins. I just was thrown by the fact the polar bear and the penguin was in the same place. I was like, but you're not. Yeah, don't know why I got hung up on that.
There you go. So if anyone wants to suggest a sauce-based poll for Christmas dinner, throw your suggestions in. If not, we'll put something together. And then maybe after that, the week after that, we could go for what's going to be your Christmas meat.
Christmas meat. I know yours is duck.
Ours is always duck. You got turkey, duck, turducken, goose.
Yep. Some people do. Some people mess with the goose. I do not, but some people do.
No. And then we can throw the usual suspects in, lamb, beef.
Oh, ham. Ham's the other one down here.
Oh, we've got to throw, for those vegetarian people, have we got to throw tofu in there or something like that?
No, I think they, I don't know what they do, but I don't think it's tofu.
Do you reckon vegetarians celebrate Christmas?
Yes, there's some delicious vegetarian food. Lots of vegetarian food is very tasty.
Do you reckon the vegetarians should be allowed to celebrate Christmas?
Yes, 100%. Even vegans, anyone. Anyone who wants to celebrate or not celebrate Christmas.
I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm being the devil's advocate.
I think anyone can celebrate what they want to be. Want to celebrate. Some people celebrate with Chinese food.
You're so accepting.
Thank you. I try to be. I am this season a Browns fan. And you have to be accepting of everything. And so are you, Darren.
Indeed, yes.
you have to be very accepting.
I was forced into it by the wheel.
I was forced into it by the wheel too. But I'm still so happy we won, and I'm wearing my Brown shirt, but you can't see it, so that's fine.
It was one hell of a win, and we're definitely going to get on to that. Do you want to cover up any news this week? Anything that's particularly caught your fancy?
Okay, so I mentioned this to you beforehand because I was just so shocked that this even came out. The New York Giants are thinking about trading for a head coach in the offseason, to which begs the question, who? Who are they trading for? And the name I landed on after going through through the list of head coaches currently in the NFL is Kyle Shanahan, because quite a lot of the other ones are kind of on the hot seat. Maybe you'd wait to see if they were let go. The only one I think is not really on the hot seat and would be good to trade for, Kyle Shanahan. What do you think, Darren?
Well, I thought this was interesting, and I was of the opinion when we spoke briefly before the show. I didn't think that Kyle Shanahan would leave San Francisco, but then you reckon, talking of meat, that there's some beef between Shanahan and John Lynch, potentially. Which I said was interesting, given that Lynch played for Shanahan's dad in Denver.
Well, that whole Brandon Ayuk, who also in news, that has had his contract voided next year by the 49ers, so he will theoretically can be released with limited impact to their salary cap. But yes, that whole debacle situation where John Lynch wanted to get rid of him had already set up a deal with the Steelers, and then Kyle Shanahan overruled it and said, no, he has to be signed. That, I think, really didn't go down well with either party.
No.
And then the Debo Samuel fiasco and just everything, I don't think it's all clean and happy up in San Francisco.
Now, I know that the Giants have just got rid of what would be, you know, like a quarterback whisperer in Brian Daboll, because everyone said that he was the guy that fixed Josh Allen. But I do think they need an offensive coordinator, an offensive quarterback person.
Yeah.
Because Jackson Dart is very obviously the future.
Yes. And he's got the skills, and I reckon Kyle Shanahan would have fun with him.
You know when they talk about trading for a head coach?
Yes.
Is there any chance that they could actually trade for an offensive coordinator that they would turn into a head coach?
Yeah. Theoretically, yeah, they can do that.
I don't think that Josh McDaniels is probably going to be there.
No.
At what point does he understand he's not a good head coach?
No, and also, to be honest, you can just sign them. Like, I don't know why you'd trade for them. You would just, because you can sign them off their coordinating contract. It's just the head coaches are locked in.
I was trying to think of, like, really good sort of offensive head coaches in the NFL at the moment.
And LaFleur up in the Packers?
LaFleur was kind of really outside of.
And Stefanski? Oh, outside of Sean McVay. But, like, Rams wouldn't get rid of him.
I think Sean McVay would retire from the NFL totally before going to another team.
Stefanski is...
The Browns are terrible, aren't they?
I know, but he is a good coach. I just think he's with a bad franchise. I just think he's with a bad franchise.
I guess it's who makes the hiring decisions and Cleveland makes that decision, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Because then you've got, like, Kevin O'Connell's a bit on the hot seat with the Vikings. I just think a few of the other ones that could be traded for as good offensive coaches are already a bit on the hot seat, so you might just wait to see if they get fired before you... Because you're going to have to trade, most likely, a first-round pick for them. The only other coach that you could fling around is Mike Tomlin.
But he's defensive.
Yeah.
I think if Tomlin goes, say, 9-8 or better this season... He's then only one season, I think, behind the all-time consecutive winning seasons or something like that. So,
what about another AFC North coach?
That he would sit it out.
Jim Harbaugh. John Harbaugh. It's not Jim Harbaugh. John Harbaugh.
Was exactly who I was just about to say.
Because the Ravens do love collecting assets. So, I reckon, I just don't know if he's actually of any use. Because he's a special teams coordinator originally. He's a very stable head coach, but he wouldn't be a developer of Jackson Dart, really. He would support him greatly, like how Harbaugh has done for Lamar Jackson, but you would need to bring in an offensive coordinator.
If you look at those coaches, right, you kind of look at Mike McDaniel, probably going to get fired.
Yeah, so you wouldn't trade.
Schottenheimer's not going to go anywhere. You're coaching arguably the biggest team in the NFL.
Yeah, no, God, no, no.
Shane Steichen, I don't think, would leave the Colts.
Nah. Jonathan Gannon over in the Cardinals, a defensive coach.
Yeah, and then when you go around punching your players, that never really goes well.
No.
Mike McDonald to the Seahawks, he's not leaving.
No, and defensive coach.
Raheem Morris, defensive coach.
Yep, Falcons, Yeah, he's a defensive coach. I don't think he's going.
And you can forget... The AFC West. Well, Pete Carroll, but like, he could get fired.
Yeah.
He could get fired. But yeah, you're right. The only other coach who could be available, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Sean McDermott. Which is interesting because the GM is ex-Bills, though. Ex-Bills.
Yeah.
The other absolute wild card, not a trade, though, would be UCal... current, what is it, program or athletic director? I've just forgotten, is it Riverboat Ron? Ron Rivera.
Oh, Ron Rivera, that would be wild.
Because he's now the athletic director of the Cal Bears.
Yeah.
And he was a big part of the Sean McDermott Bills. Quite a lot of them came from the Carolina Panthers. Quite a lot of them have great respect for Rivera. So it would be interesting, and he could be a potential interview at least. If you're not trading for someone.
I tell you who could be a wild guess as well.
Wild guy.
A wild outsider is the USC coach.
Yes.
God, his name slips my mind at the minute. The quarterback whisperer.
The quarterback whisperer.
At USC. Yeah, he had Caleb Williams and...
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley, that's the guy.
Yeah, but you're not trading for them, but yes, 100%.
You're not trading for him, no.
The other one, Lane Kiffin. From Ole Miss, come back to Jackson Dart.
Well, Lane
Shall we
Kiffin.
Get onto the Lane Kiffin drama? I know that you have
that
opinions.
That is a lot of drama. I do have a lot of this because obviously one of the teams who is heavily, heavily being linked with Kiffin is LSU.
Yes.
Florida State are apparently...
Keeping their head coach, aren't they?
Well, they're the third choice.
They're the third choice, yeah. Oh, they've got no head coach, yeah.
They fired him. It was Billy Napier, I think.
Billy Napier was for the Florida Gators, wasn't he? Not Florida State.
Florida Gators, that's right.
Because I thought the Florida State Seminoles announced that they were going to keep their guy for another year at the dismay of of most of their fans.
That's right.
So.
But what's going on with Lane Kiffin is, Mike Norvell. Florida State is keeping Mike Norvell for 2026.
Yep.
So you're right, they are out the running. So allegedly, if you speak to people or you listen to people close to LSU,
yep.
Lane Kiffin has been offered $90 million There's some question over whether it's 6 or 7 years. And $25 million per year NIL transfer portal money.
It's wild.
To go and build a team. Now, the problem is Ole Miss asked for an answer by the weekend just gone.
Yeah,
there's
now it's the Iqbal.
Discussions with the athletic director of Ole Miss,
yeah,
who then came out and said there will be an announcement about Lane Kiffin's future after the Egg Bowl,
yeah,
on Saturday, America's time. Now, what most people have read in today, if Lane Kiffin was staying, you would tell them now.
Yeah.
So there are some thoughts that Lane Kiffin is potentially going to leave.
But the other school up is the Florida Gators, isn't it? Isn't he choosing between those two?
I thought it was State, but maybe it is Gators.
No, it's Gators because Billy Napier, gone. I thought it was the Gators.
I don't know why you would go to the Gators. But
the only reason you'd go is because Florida and their tax.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, which 100% is a good factor into your decision-making, I think, because LSU is in Louisiana, and I think they don't have as favourable tax for high-income individuals as Florida does.
They have been heavily taking Kiffin's family around, showing them what it's like to live in Baton Rouge. So there's a lot going on. The governor of Louisiana is allegedly involved. So this would be massive. Because, of course, LSU are still in a huge contractual fight with Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Scott Wright,
is $54 million. They're looking for outages in the clauses in his contract.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on at LSU. But talking to people that don't have jobs.
You're going to talk about Chip Kelly, who was just fired within the last hour.
Well, I'm not being funny, right? Geno Smith has been a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
The Raiders' offense is barely struggling to get to 10 points a game.
The offensive line is the real, real issue. Because they can't even run the ball. Like,
no.
There's been multiple games where they've, like, under 20 yards rushing it. Like, it's ridiculous.
I didn't see today, but Ashton Gentry last week was 6 rushes for 7 yards.
Yeah.
This is a guy that was rushing 200 yards a game.
No, wasn't it? Was it 6 for 7 or was it 7 for 6?
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah.
I think it was 7 for 6, which is why it was so confusing, because he didn't even get a yard.
Now, if you're a millennial, you'd be going 6-7. 6-7.
Theoretically, I think I am, but I don't know what you're talking about.
This is because you don't do TikTok and stuff like I do.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're more up to it, so yeah. Sorry.
I've just probably got people listening to this show who know me, like children, going, oh my God, I can't believe he's dropped the 6-7 bone.
You can keep dropping it, and I will still just be confused.
No better off, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. Good reference, Darren. Good job, being young.
Thank you. Being young. The last thing I wanted to really quickly talk about in news was the wild stats that came out of the Notre Dame game.
Oh, yes, your favourite team, the Fighting Irish.
The Fighting Irish, they're not my favourite team because they're laughing at LSU because of what happened with Brian Kelly.
Oh, I know, I was sarcastically saying your favourite team because I thought you also got annoyed that they're weirdly independent and not in a conference.
That's right.
Because that weirds me out.
Well, what's weird about this is they won a game 70-7.
Yep.
They were 35-0 up in the first quarter, 49-0 up at halftime. In this game, so they scored 70. They passed for 67 yards for the entire game. They only played 39 plays and only had the ball for 16 minutes out of 60. And they scored 70.
Yep. Defense.
Well, it was the fact that I think that how the scoring opened was Irish, after 57 seconds, pass intercepted for a touchdown. Then 1.5 minutes later, so obviously Syracuse are not very good here at learning, punt return for a touchdown. 2 minutes after that, interception returned for a touchdown. I'm like,
defense wins championship
after 5 minutes.
Yep, that's how
and
you
then
do
it. A 45-yard rush for a touchdown, a 58-yard rush for a touchdown. It was just an absolute shambles at Syracuse. This is the team that beat Clemson and stuff like that. But
yeah,
the unbelievable stats for a team that scored 70 points, unbelievable.
I think that says more about Clemson than it does about Syracuse.
Yeah, well, we all know the Clemson story, right, this year. So.
I want to talk about it. I picked them, and then they let me down, so I don't know if I'll ever pick them again.
No, well, the only thing, the good thing that came out of Clemson this year is that I got to go and watch LSU beat them.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes, that was it. That's all.
Shall we, speaking of college,
yes?
Shall we do college first then?
Oh! You look at you shaking it up. You ain't got no 6-7 vibes, but you got shaking up the show vibes.
Shaking up the show. Should I spin it, Darren?
Yeah, get to luck. Wow, there was some interesting games this week in college.
Well, I hope you wanted to talk about BYU versus Cincinnati Bearcats.
Do you know, I'm looking at my screen and that is the actual game I'm looking at. So,
okay, cool. Perfect.
Yeah, disappointingly low-scoring game. The over-under for this was 54.5 and there was only 40 points scored.
Well, I really thought it was going to be more, and I thought that's why, like, because I sent it to you, and I was like, I think because it was important because it has massive playoff implications for that division. And BYU won it. But really, the only person on BYU who did anything today was LJ Martin. He was the BYU offense with 222 yards on the ground.
And he had another 44 through the air, so he had 266 total.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Bear Backmeyer, what a great name, Bear. Bear Backmeyer, or Buckmeyer, only 125 yards, I think.
Yeah.
Bryce Young vibes. It wasn't really a game. Cincinnati really didn't threaten. Salisbury got 300 through the air for them, but outside of that, Cincinnati, considering that this was really, you know,
they had to win
out.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that now.
They've lost three on the trot now or something like that. And also, BYU are 4-0 all time versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati have never beaten them.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so there's a little fact for you.
Shall I spin up?
There's much more you could say about that game, really. BYU are probably heading towards some playoffs.
Potentially.
Yeah. Let's go. I know one game I don't want to talk about.
I hope you wanted to talk about Missouri versus Oklahoma.
Yes, well, this was a very defensive game, wasn't it?
100% of Missouri are now off the top 25. They've completely dropped down the rankings.
Yeah, they've kind of come and gone. Do you know, here's a fact you may or may not know.
Ooh.
Missouri, and after this game, this fact still remains, have only had one passing touchdown on the road the whole season.
Wow, because they really could not score this game.
No, one passing touchdown in road games all season.
Because, they just can't get down there. Because if you look at, the box score, you can see, they put up decent yardage. They just could not get the ball in the end zone. It was really weird. It was like there was a massive barrier, and it was like, you will not pass here. It was very strange.
Well, I looked. Missouri had more plays, more possession, more time. But those two turnovers really killed them. There was no points scored in this game in the last 26 minutes.
Yeah. And Oklahoma, really, outside of Satenia, didn't have much going on offense.
No.
But
no.
Their rushing was good. But, yeah, no.
Everyone thought Ahmed Hardig was, because he'd had 7 100-yard games prior, which is second most in the FBS and most in the SEC, but I think he only ran for about 60 or 70. They really couldn't get him going either.
No, just
so,
Oklahoma came out of there with a win. Let's see if the Sooners make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's really the most you could take from this game. Very low scoring. Missouri never looked like they were going to win that game.
Okay. Oh, We are talking about the Trojans, who are now out of the playoffs, definitely. This is the Ducks.
Yes.
It was actually relatively close to begin with, and then it just got wildly out of hand for the Trojans. Wildly. It was,
I mean, it was 28-14 at halftime. You're still in it.
It was
the number two offense versus the number three defense going into the game.
And it's just an atrocious performance on special teams. It was really the unit that let them down. Like, they had so many penalties, they had long returns, there was a touchdown. Like, it was just terrible. It just did not go well for the USC Trojans on special team. And when you put yourself in a hole before your offense even gets on the field, it doesn't really help.
I mean, it's interesting. Oregon were 9.5-point favorites, and just before this game, Bo Nix was interviewed on the Pat McAfee show, and obviously he's the ex-Duck quarterback. He predicted a win by 14 points, and they won by 15. How about that? Go Bo. If you want to know what's happening in the world of NFL or the college, follow Bo.
I know. He wasn't even the last Ducks quarterback was Dylan Gabriel.
Yes. Well, there's a few in the NFL, right? Obviously, Justin Herbert.
Yep. Oregon was a bit exposed on defense because their USC wide receivers actually had a relatively good game. So Oregon defense, although they ranked relatively high, it's a bit of exposing from some good wide receivers there.
Yeah, Oregon put up over 400 total yards. USC just couldn't get the run game going.
No. Did you see
Hardy stat is probably, I overstated it, but...
The Ducks tight end catch, did you see it? He looked like he just out-jumped everyone and everyone was just a tiny ant on the ground. It was insane. His vertical reach was just like, hello, I'm 5 meters in the air. It was, so I think he will probably do quite well in the league.
Yes. Good for Hail Marys. But, the Ducks go to 10-1. The Trojans drop to 8-3. Probably that's good night for them.
One more?
Yeah, let's drop them.
Okay. I don't know if this was one you wanted to talk about, but it's one we're going to talk about. Nebraska versus Penn State. Probably not what Matt Rhule wanted when he went back to Penn State.
What a humiliation.
Oh, it was bad. It was really bad. It was complete destruction.
I know that Nebraska have got some quarterback issues with injuries and stuff like that, but this is a dysfunctional Penn State team that have really, that started off the season number two.
And just fell off the earth.
Yeah, fired their head coach, obviously James Franklin. Yep. But Nebraska just absolutely never looked in this game.
No, the only player that appeared on the field to actually turn up for the game was Emmett Johnson, the Cornhuskers running back. Yes. Everyone else. He had 50% of their total yards.
I know. They had 300 yards, but I mean, you look at Nebraska, 50% on third down efficiency, but then 1 of 6 on fourth down. Equal time, almost equal plays, but it was 23-3 at halftime.
Yeah, and Penn State just ran all over them,
They did, just destroyed them, 231 yards of rushing. I got a question for you. Do you want to talk about your Hogs?
My Hogs. Do you know, at least this time, it wasn't really blow Hogs blow because they didn't really ever get up. So that is my positive for the day, is we did not have blow Hogs blow because there wasn't really an opportunity. The only really great thing is the quarterback, KJ Jackson, actually looked pretty all right. So I'm in a good place, headspace for that for next year. I think we're okay as long as he doesn't transfer. The bizarre interception by Taylor Green, not sure what was that? And then he was either benched or injured, still not quite sure, but he was done after that. I think it's sad because Taylor Green is actually, he's an exciting quarterback to watch. Like, he's actually very exciting when he has the ball in his hand. So that was, it's a sad way if he is done for the year that that's how he goes out. No. The Hawks defense has been a problem all year, and today it was just a nightmare. Just a genuine nightmare. But do you know what's even worse, though? Is the Hawks offense actually put up over 500 yards of offense. And they could not win the game. Like, what is that? You put over 500 yards on a team and you still can't win the game. We have a really good rushing attack. Like, with Washington, he's really good. What was that? So, yeah, I think the Razorbacks are the Bengals of college football is what I feel, because our offense is doing really well, but the defense, hello. Anyone met me?
I know, and you got 188 yards rushing, whereas Texas didn't even break 100.
I know, it was not.
1,000, you had 29 first downs compared to 22.
I know.
34 minutes of the ball compared to 25.
I know. I don't understand. It was, the only thing that, like, because that was fine. Like, we lost. It was okay. We'll move on to next season. I think most of us have as a Hawks fan. But, like, why is suddenly everyone crowning Manning? Like, he went against a really terrible defense. Like, it was like he should have won. Like, I don't understand what this is. Because everyone's like, yeah, 52 points. And I was like, yeah, most people have put up over 45 points on Arkansas this year. It's not particularly that shocking. So, yeah.
But was that the Arch Manning that everybody was expecting to see this season? 18 of 30. Not a great
completion
rate.
That great.
389, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Clean.
The no interceptions is good to see.
I had him as the Heisman guy as well.
Yeah, no, that's not working. That's
not going to happen.
I think our college predictions just wipe them off the planet because absolutely none of them are right. Just gone off the planet. They never happened. So terrible. Okay, shall we go into the NFL?
Yeah, let's do it. There were some great games today.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, Seahawks versus Titans. I'm actually happy to talk about this because, oh, my God, the Titans, they play really hard on defense. Like, their defense is actually pretty it keeps them in games for, like, three quarters and they just can't hold out. But there was a point where you go, oh, are the Titans going to make a comeback against the Seahawks? Because they really did try. And it was actually one of the more interesting games to watch today. I don't know what you felt about it, but, yeah.
Yeah, well, considering the Seahawks were 13.5-point favourites in this game, the Seahawks obviously coming off their first road loss since week 4, 2024, and Sam Darnold's 4 interceptions. It was going to be interesting to see how they responded. And when you looked at the first half, you went, oh, well, that's pretty much what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But as you say, the Titans battled. They kept going. Cam Ward had a reasonable game.
Yeah, I reckon Cam Ward, like I said when he got picked by the Titans, I just think it's unfortunate that that's where he's gone because he's not with a franchise that can support him at the moment. But I reckon if he had gone to a better franchise, I think we'd be talking a lot more about Cam Ward this year. But we're not, which is sad. Yeah. But we can talk about JSN, who I reckon is the best wide receiver in football at the moment. 167 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day.
I would say that you're probably right. We were thinking of talking about, like, our picks for the league in positions today. And
yeah.
He's, spoiler alert.
He's on my top 5.
In my 5. Yeah. Likewise. Yeah.
But, yeah.
I've definitely got him in my top 5 wide receivers.
I thought at the Seahawks, I was quite happy. Their run game's coming along now. Because in the beginning of the year, their run game was a bit stalled, like it just couldn't get going, but they got over 100 yards again today, and I'm quite happy to see that because Sam Darnold needs a run game to support his play.
Yes.
Because if there's no run game, the play action doesn't work, and he's really good at play action. You saw it with the Vikings. So, yeah. The Titans O-line, though, this is the problem. Like, Cam Ward is not supported at all. He had 4 sacks, was constantly under pressure, and then the Titans O-line can't block to rush the ball. So Cam Ward also ended up being the leading rusher on the day with 37 yards. 37 yards. That was the leading rusher.
Leading rusher.
Like, no. Just no. I feel so bad for Cam Ward. I just think if he'd gone somewhere better, I think we'd be talking about him for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But we're not, so, yeah.
I think the problem with the Titans as well, they are always playing from behind.
Yeah.
Always playing from behind. They're 1-10, and I will predict now they are going to pick number one this year.
Yeah, you don't see them winning. And unfortunately, like, the Jags and the Colts are playing really well in their division, and the Texans are coming up and playing really well in their division, so it's not even like you've got some division opponents.
No.
Yeah, no.
Sad times. I think they will win one more game at least.
Yeah.
Teams do this time of year, right? They win weird games that you don't expect them to win.
Shall I spin?
Yeah.
Oh. Heading down to an NFC South matchup, probably one we don't really have to talk about much, Falcons versus Saints, because both teams are kind of heading towards out of contention.
Yeah. Well, do you know what?
I know you picked the Falcons, but yeah, there's three.
But look at that division at the moment. You've now got Baker Mayfield injured.
Yeah.
Unknown return time, and I said to you before, and I think that Mayfield was already playing injured.
Yeah.
He did not look like the same guy that started 5-1. And the Panthers have got an awful run in. Terrible starting with the 49ers tomorrow.
Yeah.
I reckon someone can win this division. Like,
oh, win it with a losing record again.
Yeah.
The division's very good at being one with a losing record.
And I could see someone in the AFC with like 10-7 not making the playoffs. This is why it's ridiculous, guys.
I have some questions around Bijan Robinson for the Falcons. Because I'm seeing Tyler Algier on the field a lot more than he was in the first few weeks. And Bijan's not really putting up the numbers he was. Is Bijan injured? Like, it's just, it seems like he still hit over 100 yards from scrimmage today, but it's not the same guy that we were seeing kind of with these fantastic games in the first couple of weeks. Because Tyler Algier is on the field a lot more than he was.
And he's been playing well.
Yeah, he's been playing well, but he's not like Bijan Robinson in the first few weeks. Do you know?
No,
like,
it's, I mean, this...
Yeah.
This division's going to be a weird division. I can see one of the Falcons now, 4-...
No, aren't they 3? Are they 3 or 4?
No, that's got to be 4. 4-7, something? I can see with the division they've got, they could end up 8-9. Cousins today actually looked better. But, you know, Tyler should have played all right. Cousins, hey, 16 of 23, 199, 2 touchdowns, not spectacular.
Shook missed a lot of deep balls. A lot of wide open receivers deep. Which the Saints' offense is pretty much now just fully built on, like, deep ball, deep ball, deep ball. They do actually have a pretty good tight end in Juwan Johnson, who's actually doing quite all right over catching over the middle for them. So they do have that underneath route in him, so he's getting a fair bit of play this year. Oh, and also to mention, Penix is out for the rest of the season, ACL surgery this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Didn't he have ACL issues?
So this is the other knee, though. So at college, it was the left knee, I believe, twice he had ACL repairs.
Yes.
And this one's, I think it's now the right knee, which has not been done before. But this is not a full ACL tear. It's a partial ACL tear, but any tear to the ACL needs full reconstruction.
Yeah.
So that's where he's heading.
Yeah, so it's Kirk Cousins for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it is.
Spin the wheel.
Okay, we are spinning. And we are going to talk about the game for the team that just won't die, Chiefs versus Colts.
Wow. My view is that the Chiefs never should have won this game. The Colts just stalled completely in the second half.
Interesting to note that Jones was limited by a calf injury this week. So
yes.
At least scrambling.
And of course, Richardson is not the future, right?
No. Well, he's out for the year with a fractured eye, which I still don't quite understand what happened. It involved a resistance band, and that's all we were told. And I was like, what? How did that happen? Did he whip himself? Like, I have so many questions about that. But anyway, going back to the actual game at hand. Yep, Mahomes worked some magic, came back in the fourth quarter, tied the game, went to overtime. And then it was a field goal for the win.
Do you know what? As soon as Indy decided not to go on fourth and short, I went, that's the end. That is the end. I'm like, you either have to kill the Chiefs while you can. You see, me and John were talking about this on the way down today. And we were talking, because obviously if Indy win, they go back to the number one seed.
Yeah, but John, they're now not.
Like, but then John, I said, John, would you rather be the number one seed or would you rather kill Kansas? And he was like, I would rather kill Kansas because playoff Kansas is not regular season Kansas. And he's like, yeah, we had both had a disappointment there because, you know, if Kansas could have been 5-6 going into a game with the Cowboys, which they could conceivably lose and go 5-7, then it's over.
Yeah.
But this ain't over now. This ain't over now.
I think it's interesting. If Jonathan Taylor is held in check, which the Chiefs did pretty well today, he had less than 100 yards from scrimmage, I don't know if Daniel Jones can do it. Like, he couldn't today when you take out Jonathan Taylor. So that's a bit concerning.
I kind of looked at the Colts, and I said I was in the car with John, and I said, I could see the Colts tank from here and probably ending up like 11-6 or something like that.
Yeah, they could.
Because as you said, their division's looking strong.
Well, the Jags only one game off now. Jags are one game off.
Well, what was interesting is the Chiefs were favourites, and probably because they're 5-1 at home, but they're 1-4 away.
Yeah. So if the Chiefs don't end up at home for the playoffs, then that may be an issue for them.
That's right. And this was the first one-score game they've won all season.
Yeah. Did you? So I prepared some defenders to watch, and I have to, one of them I will now talk about because he's on the Colts, Leatu Latu, is having a good year, good second year. Yes. Did you see he had constant pressure, and then he had that little tip to himself interception of Mahomes. So he's definitely a defender to watch in the blue and white for the Colts.
He was being heavily touted at the draft. But yeah. I don't know if he had an injury or something to college, and that's why he dropped down the
His injury history is he was told he could never play football again. He stopped playing football for a year, tried to rehab back into it, and then he came back, and I believe he transferred to a different college team.
Correct.
And they let him play, medically clear to play, and then, he played that year, and then he declared for the draft.
Yeah.
So that was his history. Yeah, but yeah.
But yeah.
Chiefs are back. Sure. Chief Kingdom.
They are back. I mean, again, if they do lose and go 6-6, do we think worse of them, or until they are physically dead, they're not dead?
No, until they're dead. No. Until they're dead, they're not dead. They're alive. Like little zombies. Yes. They don't die. Vampire or whatever, you got to stake them in the heart and take out the head or something. You can do both.
Well, you know, this is the crazy thing, right? Because we were potentially talking of no Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yep.
No Ravens in the playoffs.
No Bills.
The Bills are starting to drop, and all of a sudden, here come the Ravens, here come the Chiefs.
There go
the Bills.
Well, the Chiefs have a harder road to the playoffs. I think one side, the Ravens, slightly easier road because your division's kind of gone into a weird spiral from the Steelers who were leading. So they're a bit lucky with that. And then the Bills actually a hard time because Patriots are doing so well this year. So I think the Ravens, could make it to the playoffs, but it's just the division has enabled them to.
Yeah. I think we should bear in mind today, Patrick Mahomes, no touchdown passes.
No. No, there was one, wasn't there?
Four times. Not according to the stats I'm looking at here.
Okay.
It says 29-46, 352, no touchdowns. Sacked four times. So that offensive line is still a challenge. Kareem Hunt over 100. Rashee Rice, massive game, 141.
Can I mention another thing? As we move on to the team of the day, the Cleveland Browns, dog pound, we won.
Dun, dun, dun.
Myles Garrett is at 18 sacks. He's most likely going to break that sack record. He's at 18 sacks, and we're only 12 weeks in.
Standing.
He had three sacks today. Three sacks.
He is amazing. He is number one in my defensive players of the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Number one. He's going to go past 25 sacks.
Just boom. So, I have to say, Browns defense, feeling very happy about that. Shall we potentially talk about the elephant in the room that is Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he was average again. How bad are the Raiders? I
mean, yeah, the Raiders are terrible.
But they've got talent, right? They got Max Crosby. They got Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the Raiders are just...
Ashton Shenty.
No, just Ashton terrible.
Shenty got 50 today.
Yeah, and he had 50. Like 40 yards passing or something.
Shedeur was barely 50% again.
Look, the only good thing that happened to the Raiders today was that Jeremy Chinn forced fumble, where he like hustled from the back and then just completely punched the ball out. That was about the best thing that happened to the Raiders today.
Was that the Jerry Jeudy thing?
Yeah, the Jerry Jeudy one.
What was Jerry Jeudy doing?
Oh, well, he came from behind. I literally just don't think he saw him.
Yeah, but you look at Jerry Jeudy, he's almost dancing like he scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Rewatch the video. It is weird.
Oh, no, he did a cutback. A jump cut.
Dear, oh dear.
It was nice to see Tyler Lockett back with Pete Carroll. Nice little partnership back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... Raiders also had over 100 yards of penalties on the game, so that's... Also, yeah, I struggle to find any positivity about the Raiders. It's very difficult. The Browns D-line just completely swallowed Geno Smith. They had 10 sacks. 10 sacks on the day. That is ridiculous that you allow that many sacks on your quarterback.
And the Raiders have then got to go and play Denver again this year, so if that O-line doesn't... They're just going to... Geno Smith's just going to get killed.
Well, the other person who's getting killed is Ashton Genty, because he gets absolutely smashed in the backfield. Like, it's not... Like, he's got no chance. He has absolutely no chance. And you see him come off the field, and he's just in pain because he's just getting absolutely smashed from all angles by everyone. So, yeah, it's just not good.
2.9 a carry. Although, he did 58 yards receiving. So
He did good receiving. The other thing was that Geno Smith missed multiple deep shots, like where the guy was wide open because the D-line would just collapse in on him and he had no time to throw that deep ball. The thing is, these receivers are getting open, it's just the people aren't blocking enough so that Geno Smith can get the ball out, because you need to hold it a tiny bit to chuck it deep, but you can't because there's no time.
It's interesting. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are missing deep balls this year.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, I had big criticism of Bo Nix, is missing deep balls. Caleb Williams missed a few today.
The only one who seems very good at it is Drake May normally.
Matt Stafford's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Matt Stafford is MVP front runner at the moment.
Oh, I don't even think it's close at the minute.
Yeah, the only one that was potential to kind of fight for that was Jonathan Taylor, but he can't have these types of games today and win the MVP.
No. Not if you're going to get completely shut down like that, no.
No. Also, not great news for us, Judkins injured.
Yeah.
That's not good, because he is a large part of their offense. So much so that they took Shedeur Sanders out of the game twice in the red zone and had Judkins in a wildcat formation.
Which is interesting. I'm all for trying something different.
I know. Well, it worked. They got two touchdowns off it, so it worked.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, so... yeah. It's interesting.
I think Shedeur can run as well.
Oh, yeah, Shedeur can run.
So that is interesting.
It's, yeah, it was interesting how they kind of are handling the Sanders, because now it's like, oh, we won't say who's starting, because, you know, like Dylan Gabriel's still on the concussion protocol. So that will be interesting going forward, because I think it's now made it a lot worse now that he's played. Because now you have something to go off. And... he didn't do anything really to harm himself, but he didn't actually do anything to make a massive case obvious. This is your QB going forward. So I'm not sure how they're going to land it.
Other than, I will give you another wild stat if you're interested in wild stats today.
What, it was the first time since, like, Johnny or someone that they won? A rookie quarterback's won for Cleveland?
Correct. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh,
they were 0-17.
And what I texted you, didn't I? We're up to our 42nd starting QB since 2000. And that is 12 more than any other team. The next teams being like the Bears and Commanders.
1999 was the last time a starting quarterback A first game starting quarterback, yep. One for the Cleveland Browns, 1999.
It's insane. It's actually insane. It's the Cleveland Browns fans. It's you're hard done by, like, oh, just imagine being a fan since 1999.
The wild thing about this, right, the Raiders were 3-point favourites to win the game.
Yeah.
And the over-under was the lowest of the week at 37, and they couldn't even get there.
No.
Between them, they couldn't even get there between them, so.
It was rough. It was good for us. We won the game. It's a game we should have won because our defense is astounding. But, oof.
It was a hard watch.
Yeah. But, hey, we're out of here with a win, so we'll take that.
Do you want to give it another whirl? I think we can maybe pick two, one or two very quick ones in. Unless you want to talk about something else?
No, I'm spinning. Oh, yes, I really wanted to talk about this game. We are going to talk about Thursday Night Football, Bills versus Texans.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, the Texans defense. Yes, thank you. Number one in the league. They played out of their mind. Like, what? It was 8 sacks, 12 QB hits, 11 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, and have so far this season limited opposing QBs to a 72 passer rating or less every game. Like, just insane.
This is quite crazy because the Bills are first in rush offense.
Yep.
31st in rush defense.
Yep.
Josh Allen was a perfect 8-0 on Thursday Night Football before that.
But do you know what changed this game? What?
The missed extra point. Early in the game, the Bills never recovered, and they were in field goal range at the end of the game and couldn't kick it because of the missed extra point.
Also, Josh Allen in Houston. Do you remember the playoff game, I think it was like 2019 now, with the Bills versus the Texans, when Josh Allen just went absolutely insane through like what felt like 9 interceptions? Like they went, and so I just think it's something with him when he goes down to NRG Stadium in Houston. Something just goes really wrong with him. And then, because he's played pretty well this year. Like Josh Allen, previous game against the Bucks was 6 touchdowns by himself, 3 in the air, 3 rushing, like... I don't know why, when he gets to Houston, just something happens to him. It's like something in the air or the water, and he just completely unravels. It's very strange. Also,
you cannot have games like this, right? And the interesting part now is the AFC is not going through Buffalo, and it is not going through Kansas.
No.
There's no chance either of those are going to get to the number one seed. And Buffalo now are not going to win their division.
No, they're not.
They're not.
And there's just not enough weapons. Like, the only other weapon outside of Josh Allen himself is James Cook.
That's right.
And, like, he did get another 100 yards from scrimmage tonight, but, like, Allen just wasn't enough. The interesting thing is that the defense worked in tandem, so they covered really well against the wide receivers that the Bills have, which aren't fantastic wide receivers. They couldn't get open, so Josh had to hold the ball, and then the line would get to him. Because the Texans pretty much this whole game were only rushing 4 passes, and they were still getting Allen down. So it's interesting that you go, if they're covered, Allen has to, like, Josh Allen has to play out of his mind to win the game for the Bills. And if not...
But you know what I think the bigger question is?
Yeah.
When CJ Stroud is back, Davis Mills is holding this together pretty well.
He is.
So what do you do with CJ Stroud? I mean, obviously, you were still in concussion protocol. He's obviously your franchise quarterback. But do you take out the hot hand?
I don't know. I was actually thinking that myself because... He has played better than CJ Stroud did starting the year, but I don't know if it's just the offense is now coming into it because they did have a change in offensive coordinator. They've now got Marks, who looks like a good running back for them, so who knows? But I guess that'll be a question for next week.
It will do. We'll see where they land next week, but that is our show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to follow us on the socials. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT. Have a great week.
We'll be back next week.
you can make radio.